So today, we continue a conversation we're having about families. And guys, I can tell you, the conversation about families plays into our conversation about church families, okay? It really does. And I can tell you that I'm going to go back to some things so basic this morning that you're going to be like, duh. Well, if it's duh, then we wouldn't have a problem. So sometimes we got to repeat ourselves. So we began with the fathers. And guys, that is ultimately our responsibility. It begins with the father. It begins with the man. It begins with the husband. That's how God began it. That's how it begins. All right? It is our responsibility to exhaust ourselves first for our God, and then for our wives, and then for our children, in that order. If you have a problem with that, you take that up with the scripture. Don't email me. You email Jesus. All right? Cheesy, they call it an email. All right. Second, we went to the wives, and we took on a hot topic for women in the Me Too liberal order, and that is submission, all right? But I took a different approach, and if you haven't listened, you should. I wanted to make sure that we're clear. The Bible calls us to be submissive spouses, all right? First to God, and then to our husbands. But we took a very hard look at what submission does not mean, all right? So that we could understand what we are called to be submitted to and whom. I also was very clear to this section of people, and I want to be clear to you again, not because I want to hammer down on you, but because I adore you. I love you. So ladies, listen up. Don't find a man with the biceps that make you happy. It'd be a plus, but don't look for that. Find a man with the six-pack or the eyes that make you happy. Find a man that loves you so much, that adores you so much, that wants to help you raise children so much, that submitting to him is a joy, that you can't imagine yourself not submitting to him. When you find that guy, you did it. You understand? All right. Sounds like water's going from somewhere. Yep. All right. Third, we're not going to worry about it. Third, children, all right? Children. That is disconcerting, isn't it? When you figure it out, let me know, all right? It's off. All right, yeah. As if there's probably one spout, all right, and there's seven guys going. Then they all walk back in here like this. By the worship pastor. All right. See, I don't even know how I would do that, all right? Smurfs don't flex, all right? I'm just like, all right. Third, we looked at the children, and we talked about what it means to obey and to honor the parents, okay? And then I know that a lot of you have been looking forward to this. For this week and next week, we're going to talk about parenting. Now, I have to tell you something. It is this week and next week that got me really excited about doing this series, okay? It's also this week and next week that have caused me a massive amount of trouble for the last 4 or 5 days. It's caused me a massive amount of trouble for the last 4 or 5 days, A, because I'm not a perfect parent, okay? B, because parenting is hard. And C, because I know that it's my responsibility to speak the truth to you, and most of you do a great job of encouraging me that you're thankful that I do so. I know that most of you have signed a piece of paper that say, when our lives are maybe steering in a direction that they shouldn't, we are honoring ourselves, God, and you by asking you to point that out with love to us so that we might correct ourselves. But I also know that I have said things and done things and meant them in love, and some of you have gone, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he just don't understand. So it's still hard for me, all right? And some things I'm going to say today are going to cut right to the heart of you. as parents, ask yourself this. Did I wake up this morning going, Tasha, Chris, I can't wait to dig right into your heart and make you feel like the worst parent ever. I'm headed to church thinking, man, if I can make Steve feel just ludicrously awful about himself. I didn't do that. In fact, I struggled this week how to say some things so that I wouldn't be misperceived. All right? Know that up front. Know this too. I'm excited about where this is going. Well, you say, well, Craig, my daughter is about to graduate. My son just graduated. What do I do? You keep doing what you're doing. You switch because they will when they're 30, when they're 50, when they're 80. I have baptized full-grown men and women. You run the race, you keep the faith, and God honors it. This week, we're going to talk about some things maybe we shouldn't do that we all do. Next week, we're going to talk about how we flip the switch and why we flip the switch. And that's the cool part. The root of all of this is actually super simple. Let's acknowledge one thing up front. Parenting may well be the single most difficult job on the planet. When the responsibility is understood, I never get that many amens. When the responsibility is understood, it becomes more overwhelming. Let me be very clear about something else. All parents feel the pressure. No matter how together they have it, no matter how well they walk in a line, no matter how they hold hands when they cross the street, no matter whether or not you hear their problems, all parents feel the pressure and the weight of training our children up in righteousness. But here's where we fly off the rails a little bit. We want to make good kids. See, I said training yourself in righteousness, but you forget that. If I said, is that what you want to do? All of you would say yes. But what you really work toward is they need to obey me. They need to get A's. They need to behave themselves. They need to be polite to others. When the goal is what? Grow righteous children. If we stop missing the goal that we're aiming for in the first place, things will get easier. I did not say they would get easy. I'd say it would get easier to hit the target if you're aiming in the right place. Huh? All right. Let's start with Scripture because that's always where we want to begin. We're going to pick up where we were last week, and then we're going to go on to what it says about our job as parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you need to know that this sentence comes with an understanding from the writer. This sentence comes with an understanding that once we get to verse 4, that the parents are actually doing verse 4 so that the kids can do verse 1 and end up with the rest. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And that promise is that it may go well with you. So, if children obey their parents, there is a promise that it will go well with you if fathers do not exasperate your children. Now, hold on. Let's go to a black screen because most of us stop there. Kids want to say, well, I'm supposed to obey my parents, but Dad, you're not supposed to exasperate me. Does this happen to anyone? You get like half a scripture sometime. Submit to your wives. Well, love me like Jesus. Whoa, all right. Half a verse and half a verse doesn't help us, y'all. When do you get exasperated? When do you get exasperated? Come on. You most of you can't answer me right away because you haven't thought about it. What? When you're overwhelmed, and what tends to overwhelm you? Yes. Or you know what you're supposed to do, but you don't know what? How to do it. I can see what I want, but I don't know how to get there. And this is tried, and this is tried, and this is tried. And I am what? Exasperated. Parents, when we drive our children to a place and don't tell them how to get there or why they are going there, they get what? Exasperated. When you're inconsistent about the instruction that you give, and you tell them to turn left, and then you tell them to turn right, and then you tell them to go straight, and you say, but the goal is there. No, there's one direction to the goal. Don't change the rules. That gets them what? Exasperated. But it also, he said, lost. It gets them that too. So what do we not exasperate them with? Listen. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Listen, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to say a phrase now that you're going to hear twice today and probably at least twice next Sunday. You ready? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If someone were to walk up to your child in the middle of their journey with you and ask them where they are heading, and their answer is anything but more in love with Jesus, you're doing it wrong. I didn't say you were going to like it. Can you argue with me? If you ask your child during the journey, what is the most important thing? And it's anything but love Jesus more, serve Jesus more. We're just, mom and dad want me to put Jesus first. You're doing it wrong. You don't understand. Badminton's going to get my kid into college. I'm being very careful about what I say here. Craig, you don't understand. I focus on my child so they will know how much I love them. Yes, but do they know you love Jesus more than them? Some of you would argue with me and say, as long as my child knows how much I love them and how important they are to me, I'm doing it right. No, you are not. You are committing idolatry because they are more important to you than God is. The end. Train a child in the instruction of what? The Lord. Nothing else matters. Well, Craig, you don't get it. We live in a world where my kids can do everything. Yes, go do everything. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. God wants godly badminton players. We need godly croquet players. We need godly cricket players. Dance for the Lord, sing for the Lord, act for the Lord. But whatever you do in word or deed, listen, do it all for the glory of God. If badminton is the key, you fail. Fail. Well, Craig, why do we do those? Everybody does those. Yes, everybody does those things. You know why? Because the Bible doesn't say, for bad parents have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible doesn't say, for dance parents have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Dance moms. The Bible doesn't say, cheerleading parents have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible doesn't say, football, doesn't say that. Guess what it says? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are a few traps that we fall into that I want to help you identify this morning. The first one is called identity parenting. That says identify, but it should be identity, okay? All right, it's close. Identity parenting, all right? Here's what that means. Your value is based upon how well your child does or does not perform. Your value, how high you are today, how low you are today, how good a day you've had, how bad a day you've had, is based on how well your child performs, thinks, speaks, obeys, behaves, excels, doesn't excel. Everything about your world rises and falls with your attitude on your children. It looks like this in some parents. They live the life they used to want vicariously through their child. Can I get a witness from my psychology people? If Nick and Cicely were in here, they'd be like, they'd be pulling a Steve. She already did, I know. Listen to me. God created you and knitted you in your mother's womb to do the things He created you to do. He did something different for your child. Well, Craig, is it possible that my child follows in my footsteps? Absolutely. I could have 100% been a mechanic, except no. No, none of you want me working on your car. I asked somebody today, I asked Les, hey, how hard is it to hook one of them cans up to put AC stuff in your AC thingy? My dad's been working on cars for 40 years. I don't know what the AC stuff is called or what the AC thingy is or where it's located. It's a good thing that I'm not working on vehicles and selling tires. Can I get an amen? Some of your kids weren't born to sing. You can't say that. Yes, I can. I've told you before, I love basketball, but this. Well, Craig, you don't understand. You grew up a talker. True. Here's what you don't know. Here's what my parents did. Not Craig did. Here's what my parents did. My parents said, you want to play t-ball? Let's play t-ball. But then when t-ball came out and my birthday fell wrong, my parents had to sit me down and say, you don't get to play t-ball for another year. Do you know what that sounds like when you're five? It sounds like forever. And the next year they added two new teams and I ended up on, y'all know what this is like in a small town. I was on the expansion team. Y'all are laughing because you get it. I was on two expansion teams. 3 years later, that expansion team won the league championship. And so I played Little League. And I loved it. And my parents were there at every game, at every practice. But you know when I didn't play? Sundays. You know when I didn't play? Wednesdays. Do you know where my mom was? Thursday, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, then every day but Wednesday or Sunday, taking me to a game. If the game started and church ended, you know what my mom did? Got me in the car and got me to that game. Do you know what I did after 4 years? Started center field for the All-Star. Why? Not because I was any good, but because my parents said, this comes first, this comes second, and we'll be there for you as long as it doesn't get in the way of this. And so my mom would pick me up at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock every day at school. When I got into high school, all right? And at 3 o'clock, she would drive me to Liebes Field where I played soccer. She would come back an hour and a half later with a plate of food that sat in my lap as she drove me to band practice from 6 to 9. 3:30 to 5:30, 6 to 9. Every single day. Except Wednesdays, and we got a band competition. How many? One. Is it overnight? Yeah. Will you miss a Sunday? One. No problem. We can't drive to Murfreesboro, Tennessee and not get back. No problem. Every other Sunday, where was I? That's right. That's right. And I got to be on state championship band things. I got to be on all-star teams. I got until I figured out that I was little, everything was fine. My parents took me and loved me and let me and encouraged me as long as God came first. And I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I'm going to tell you exactly why I'm here today. So I went to Georgetown College that I loved. And I went to Georgetown College because some Christian mentors of mine were at Georgetown College and they were in a fraternity. And I know that I'm not a fraternity guy, but I was a fraternity guy. And they had a soccer team. And I had met the soccer coach. So I went and I tried out for the soccer team. I know that none of you think I'm not a soccer, doesn't matter. I made a college soccer team. They handed me the jersey. They took me to do the physicals. I went to the BSU that Monday night, and they talked about revival teams. And the revival teams go out on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the soccer games were every leave on Friday, play on Saturday, come back on Sunday. I never put that uniform on. That was my call. I miss the game. I do. And I don't miss it at all. I don't miss it at all when I look out at Miss Keena. I don't miss it at all when I look out at Steve and Chris. I don't miss it at all when I shake Bobby Russell's hand or when I'm cooking gravy next to Jason Melton. I don't miss it at all. Not even a little bit. Not anymore. Why? Because my parents said, we will love you and we will bend over backwards for you, except. And here was the thing. My mom and dad didn't care if I won or if I lost, if I was on the expansion team or the golf team, if I was on the beach team or the band team, because their identity wasn't caught up in who I was. Well, Craig, how do you know if your identity's caught up with it? You don't. You don't. But let me tell you why it's dangerous. Because if your identity is in anything but Christ, your identity will eventually be broken. Well, I love my children and nothing that they do. Oh, nothing that they do. Can I just inform you of something that some of you don't want to hear? Like me, and my parents knew, like you, you parents know, your children are sinners. What? Not my sweet little chubby cheek baby girl. Your children are sinners. They are broken. They are sinners. Surprise! And you don't realize it until they start to walk. And you have covered every electric outlet in the house but one. And they know sensory where that outlet is, and they get their hands on a fork. And you say, no. 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 House lights go out, kid falls down, kid cries, and you're torn between ah and ha. Your kids are well, Craig, you're not making me feel very good. You're stealing the self-esteem of my children. Oh, hush! It all starts with realizing that they are. And then you'll know what you're training them for. It's the same thing I'm doing to you, telling you what not to be today and then telling you how to be it next Sunday. So the first thing I don't want you to do is to find your identity in anything but Jesus Christ, the one who will never leave you or forsake you, the one who will never fail you, the one who has not sinned. God made him who has no sin to become sin so that we might become his righteousness. If you put your identity in them, they will learn, even if you don't tell them, they will learn by your actions that their identity can be in whatever they choose or whatever they think they love. You find your identity in Christ, they will find their identity in Christ. What's the old commercial? Parents who do drugs have children who do. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. You remember those old commercials? Listen to me. Parents who passionately fall in love with Jesus have children who know it. And God makes this promise. But we'll look at that next week. Identity parenting. Be careful. The second one, isolation parenting. Well, Craig, what's that look like? You do not go to, you do not go to restaurants because you're afraid that your child's going to act up and disturb the people around you. Your child throws a tantrum and you go, no, 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 everything's okay. Everything's fine. You don't want help from anyone because your child shouldn't be anyone else's responsibility, and it goes both ways. You don't want to hinder the person over there, but you were given the child, and so you have the ultimate authority and responsibility there, and so you're walking a very dangerous line when God said it is not good for man to be alone. When God said, I need you to live in community like I am community. Parenting falls under the same thing we fall under as spiritual beings. You need me. I need you. We need each other. It can't be done without it. Why would you think for a minute that you could take on the hardest job on the planet that everybody amen 10 minutes ago and then say, but I can do it by myself? You cannot. You cannot. Well, Craig, when I was pregnant, the best advice I got was don't listen to everybody else's advice. Okay, there's some truth to that, right? There's some truth to that. It's also a fallacy. Here's the problem. People who want to give you all kinds of advice, who are identity parenting with their perfect child who graduated summa cum laude with a 5.7 GPA and is going to Harvard and want to tell you how to make it happen, listen to me. You want to know what parents to listen to advice from? The parents who don't want to tell you anything because they're smart enough to know they haven't figured it out and they're still working on it, and that's the best advice you can get. I have a kind of rule when I'm giving people advice about things, all right? Some of my friends make fun of me for it because I want to do everything, but I want to help everything. But it's very simple because it's something somebody told me about ministry. I don't want to tell you how to do ministry, but I do want to tell you where the landmines are so you don't blow your foot off. If I go and have a really bad experience something and my friends are going to pay $2,000 to go do that, I'm going to say, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't care where you walk, but if you're going to walk that way, don't step there. Step anywhere else. And when it comes to having a baby, my rule is simple. It ain't my baby. And God didn't give it to me. And then he did. So I started again. I mean, there are some things that are true. That baby's a sinner. True. That baby going to wake up at night. True. You going to get frustrated. True. What do I do about it? You figure it out. How? I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. Sometimes God figures it out formula. Do I give them mommy's milk or do I give them formula milk? I don't know. My first two kids, it was decided for us. There were no mommy's milk. Ding! Formula it is. And I had fatty, fat babies. Look at me. It was great. Guys, don't do this alone. Use everything that God puts around you to help you run this race together. And finally, come on, illusion parenting. Andy Stanley told a version of this story, and then the three I's I got from a church out west called Flatirons, except they preach them in 4 weeks. So I'm going to do it in one. I got these three from them, and he retold the story, and he said this was Andy Stanley. So I'm saying it was Andy Stanley's, and then it was Scott's, and it's not mine, and I don't care. But here it is. So you got this really handsome guy, walks into a bar, meets this really handsome girl. She looks at him. He looks at her. They hit it off. Everything's good. For 6 weeks, it's blissful. For 6 months, it's blissful. They get married. Life is good. One day, he comes home from work, and she simply says, why didn't you do? He's never heard this before. What is this sorcery? Why does she question me? So he says, well, if you hadn't done, then you would have done. Oh, And then she says, well, you need to. And then he says, well, you need to. And they go to separate rooms and they're mad and they're upset and they don't know who that person is. But they finally apologize and then they make up with what we'll call the happy hug. We'll just call it a happy hug. Yes, the happy hug. And out of the happy hug comes a baby. And you know what that baby's going to do? That baby's going to fix everything. I'm going to have a baby, and it's going to fix everything. She's going to be happy with the baby. I'm going to be happy taking care of the baby and the mommy. And the world is going to be a better place. Illusion parent is not understanding that when your feelings are based upon your child and you feel like your child can bring you joy, you're putting an undue, undeserved, unimaginable amount of pressure on that child that you don't even know you're putting on them. And they grow up with the expectation of making everyone feel happy, making everyone feel wanted, making everyone feel included. And their anxiety increases and their depression increases because everybody's a sinner and they can't get the job done. And pretty soon we have a world full of people who are trying to please everyone and don't know the rules about anyone because nobody's telling them the difference between right and wrong, because our identity is caught up in an illusion of who our children are to us, and we've reversed the roles. Be the parent. Train the child. They are not here to save you. That is not their power. And let me be clear about something else. You are not here to save them. It is not your job to save them. That is God's job. Check this quote out. God has given you the authority for the work of change, but he has not granted you the power to make that change happen. Oh. Do you understand that we have this illusion that we can make our kids not smoke? We can make our kids not drink? We can make our kids fall in love with Jesus? Not within your power. We can get our kids to heaven. Not within your power. Whose is it? God's. Kids, I've told you this story. Kids ask me all the time. They come to an event like the Edge Conference, or they go to camp, and their heart gets burdened. And I love these kids for it. Their heart gets burdened for one of their friends. And they come to me and they say, I've brought my friend to church. They come to me and say, I've read the Bible to my friend. They come to me and say, I've told them not to do these things. Craig, how can I get the kids saved? And the evangelist who has all the answers looked back at him and says, you can't. I had to come to that. I'm not trying to destroy them. I'm telling them the truth. They can't. And so they look at me and be like, well, what are you here for? And I say, hey, have you ever grown a tomato? And they look back at me and they're like, what does that have to do with anything? Answer the question. Have you ever grown a tomato? Yes, you liar. Now I'm a really mean guy. You have not grown a tomato. Yes, I have. No, you have not. You have planted a tomato seed. You have watered a piece of dirt. And you have watched while what? God grew a tomato. Same with your kids. Put them in the soil they need to be in. Give them the nutrients and the nourishment to grow in the direction they need to grow. And let God do what God does. And sometimes it's frustrating. You know how fast rosemary grows? Real fast. You know how fast cilantro grows? So fast you don't even know it's growing and now it's done. I lost my whole crop because I was waiting on everything else to catch up and my cilantro was done. Do you know how long it takes to grow habaneros? Because those are what I want. Like 90 days. My jalapenos are opening up in 30, but my habaneros aren't ready for 90. Guess what? Kids are the same way. They're all different. And guess who knows? God. Guess who can save? God. Guess who can make them the best ball player, the best dancer, the best preacher, the best teacher, the best kid? God. So where should we point them? And who should we let handle it? Well, there you go. That's what that verse means. And that's why children should obey you. Obey your parents, for this is right. Why? Because fathers don't need to confuse and overwhelm and exasperate their children. They just need to train them in the instruction of God, and the rest will work itself out. Well, Craig, I am. Then don't worry. Well, Craig, I am, but I'm still worried. Then one of two things is true. You aren't, or you're not patient. God doesn't say when they will return. Next week we're looking at teach a child and when they are old. We don't know what that means. Well, I need it to happen before they're 16. So does everybody else. I'd like for it to happen before they go off to college. Good luck! I'm not trying to be a David Dampart here, but no. Well, Craig, I've seen some great kids and they're freshmen. Happens sometimes. Maybe you want to get advice from those parents. Seriously. Maybe you want to sit back and watch those parents. I really want to give you some hows so that you walk out of here encouraged. You should walk out of here encouraged without it. Here's why. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Path straight. If He has to make the path straight, what is the path? Crooked. How many of you feel like your paths are crooked? Me too. Trust the Lord. He'll make it straight. Next week, I'm going to talk about the target. I'm going to talk about the aim. I'm going to talk about the quiver and the arrows. And we're going to talk about how to get some of this done together. Love and discipline. Let's pray. God, one of the hardest things for any of us to do with anything that we love, a hobby, a relationship, something material, our spouses, our children. One of the hardest things to do is to truly, earnestly, and honestly turn them over to you. Because turning them over to you doesn't just involve giving them up ourselves, but it also involves continuing to run the race with a level of discipline that is almost unheard of. And the reason it's almost unheard of is because God says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to let go, and then we have to keep working. Well, what are we working toward? We're working toward chasing Jesus, and we're asking our children to come along, to follow where we lead. So we follow Jesus. They follow us. And that when it's time, they will follow Jesus and lead others. They used to say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. God, in the words of the old hymn, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Help us look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth, the trials of our parenting, the pain that our children sometimes cause us, will grow strangely dim. Why? Because sinners become saints in the light of His glory and His grace. We need His grace, and so do our children. Allow yourself to have some. Allow yourself to receive it from Him. And allow yourself to give it to them. Next week we'll talk about what comes next. In Jesus' name, amen.